It'll just take me a moment here to get set up, but I'll just chat a little bit. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Good. Thank you. I'm grateful that we're able to be here with you folks. I've got with me this time my wife, Melody. Just wave there, Mel. And Lindsay, a friend and colleague with us today. And we've just begun what we call our Manitoba and Saskatchewan ministry tour. And so for us, that means going to several different locations over the next, I think we have another 10 days ahead of us. Sorry, ladies. But we will get through it and we will have fun. All right. And we'll see if this works. Oh, I've got to enter in a code. Look at that. That should work. Did it work? Sorry, folks. This is what we call technology. Aha. We're almost there, I think. So, as I said, Dan Rees, I think I was here last year. Yes, I was here last year around this time and got to meet many of you and talk with you. I came on my own then. It was kind of at a time when we were getting used to getting back out in the world. And so I'm grateful that we're back even a little bit more out in the world. So this is a good thing. And but I just want to talk a little bit today with you and go through a passage of scripture that the Lord's laid on my heart recently. So basically, as you know, Trans World Radio is an organization that seeks to partner with the church. And you see it's a capital C church. That's the body of Christ, which could include individual churches or denominations or parachurch organizations, or even individuals like yourselves. And so for nearly 50 years, we have sought to partner with the church for evangelism and discipleship. And we do that through certain ways, through media content. Those are the content that is created for to be used over the radio or other technology means. We seek to train believers, deepening their faith and understanding of who Christ is, and also using technology to really undergird all of that. And that's really what's a unique thing about Trans World Radio Canada is we seek to use technology to bring about evangelism and discipleship. And, you know, we've been speaking hope to the world, and we do that on air, online, and on the ground. And for us, it's really important to have an on-the-ground component, that connection with the people who are the listeners and who are the users and consumers of the content. And so we're grateful that we have opportunity to partner with many people, including even here, many of you at this church. We partner with you, those people who have been, the Lord has touched to be generous and to give your support. That has been very, very helpful for us. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Normally, I don't always have Melody with me, but Melody is here. So she's my wife. We've been married for 32 years, and we have two children, our son Greg, who's married to Amy, and they live out in Vancouver, British Columbia. And then our daughter, Allison, who lives in southwestern Ontario, about an hour and a half away from where we live. And she's a nurse in Hamilton, Ontario. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I think the last time I was here, I told you that my dad, when I was born, was a traveling evangelist. And he would go all across Canada and the U.S. with Ken Campbell. And the two of them would go and do, we called them, this is in the 60s and 70s, so before many of you were around, but they would share the gospel at, we called them crusades back then. We probably wouldn't call them that now, but that's what they did back in those days. And so I grew up in a Christian home at a very early age, about the age of four. I came to faith in Christ, and it was at my mother's knee. course, at 4 years old, you don't always know what you're signing up for, but God has been faithful and has been allowing me to grow in Him. I went to, after high school, I went to Bible school just for a year of it's called Word of Life Bible Institute, and that's where I really took this great family heritage that I had in faith in Christ and really internalized it and made it something that that was meaningful to me. Spent about 18 years in the business world, in industrial automation, manufacturing, kind of techie type stuff, and then spent about 8 or 9 years working with nonprofit organizations. And then about 3 years ago, right now, the Lord really instilled on my heart that He was calling me to this role here at Trans World Radio. So here I am. This is what we're doing. But what I want to do today is take a little bit of time and just share with you. We've entitled our this season, this tour that we're on, calling Our Only Hope. And for me, that's this is something that the Lord's been laying on my heart, that He really is our only hope. But I want to take us through a passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. I'm just going to read them for us here, if I may. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God has raised us up and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Let's just pause and pray for a moment. Father, we thank You that we have this opportunity to spend a few minutes in Your Word. I pray that You would speak through the words that I say. May these be not my words, but Yours. And Lord, I pray that You would allow us to be reminded of the hope that You provide for us. Lord, we just commit this time to You. In Jesus' name, amen. So our tagline, as I said, is Speaking Hope to the World. And that's kind of where this is coming from, this need for hope. We've just read through the passage here, but I just want to talk a little bit about, give some context, and this is actually something that Mike has been working with me and helping me to learn a little bit of how to give some context to things. So thank you, Mike. But Ephesus is a city in the Aegean Sea. It was at one time ruled by the Greeks. The temple of the Greek goddess Artemis is there, and the Romans would call that Diana. But this is Ephesus, and it's important to remember that the people of Ephesus are Gentiles. They're not Jews. So that's kind of gives you some context of where in the world it is. It's over by Greece and Turkey and in that whole area there. But what I also wanted to give you is just a bit of an outline of this Pauline epistle. And of course, I found this just recently. This is a general Pauline outline, and it says, "Grace, I thank God for you. Hold fast to the gospel. For the love of everything holy, stop being stupid. Timothy says hi." I just thought that was a kind of a cute little thing for us to chuckle at. But quite often, that's how Paul structures his messages. Anyway, the book of Ephesians was written by Paul when he was in prison in Rome. From what I can see, it was written about 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And Paul was writing this book to his friends. These were people that he'd spent time with. We can go back in and find that Paul, it looks like he spent at least 2 years in the city of Ephesus. And so these were people that he had, we find that in Acts 19. And so we know that Paul had knowledge of the city. He understood the culture and the people. And he was, again, writing to people that he knew. These were his friends. And he was writing a letter to encourage them. And one of the themes through this is hope. And I just want us to spend some time talking about hope. What is hope? Thomas Aquinas said it this way: faith has to do with the things that are not seen, and hope to do with the things that are not at hand. It's this idea of looking forward and in anticipation. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that the continually looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do, to look forward with hope and with expectation." So let me ask you, what are you hoping for? What is it that you are placing your hope in? You know, some of us may place our hope in those things that we have, the possessions, the things that we own or control. Some of us may be in our position in the community, you know, our standing in the world, the role that we have, or it could be our prestige, how we're viewed by those around us. It could be our power, our ability to control those people around us or the environment around us as well. And some people may put their hope in people, in their loved ones or others, in their pastors or teachers or whatever. They may put their hope in those people and places. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey, if I can, to a place I went to recently. Back in March, I had the opportunity finally to get out and go to different parts of the world. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go and see some of the work that is being done by some of our people, our partners, in the country of Kenya. And I went up to the northwest corner of Kenya to a place called Kakuma. Now, some of you may remember back about 30 years ago, a refugee camp, well, actually, the Lost Boys of Sudan. There was about 20,000 young men who were child soldiers in Sudan, and they'd been taken out and put into a refugee camp, which it happens to be this refugee camp here in Kakuma in Kenya. And now there are over 200,000 people living in this refugee camp, and for these last 30 years, this refugee camp has been continuing to grow. And so I had the opportunity to go for a little bit of a tour into this camp, and this is kind of a little bit of what it looks like there. A lot of just, you know, rocks and dirt, not a lot of joy or hope, really. As I was going through this place, I just had this sense of hopelessness and despair. And One of the things is that in this place, this is a refugee camp, and the United Nations HCR, I can't remember what that is. Anyway, it's the people that take care of all the refugees around the world. They say that only 1% of refugees ever get put back into their normal places where they come from. And so these are people that are in this this refugee camp. They, some of them are born there, they live there, and they die there. And in fact, this is as we were driving in, we drove by a graveyard. This is where people, again, have been buried there at this camp. And again, as I was driving through, I just had this overwhelming sense of hopelessness and despair. And so that kind of really struck me quite a bit. And I want to kind of compare that a little bit with Paul, what he was saying in his message to the Ephesians. How does Paul describe our hopeless situation? Well, in verse 1, he says, of chapter 2, he says, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." I mean, that's pretty hopeless, isn't it? Verse 2, "You were deceived by Satan." That's another way of describing hopelessness. Verse 3, "Disobedient." People were being not following God's way. They were being disobedient. And then in verse 12, we have this sense of being detached from God, separated from God. And these are all ways that Paul is showing hopelessness through this passage. Now, aren't we glad that that's not the end of the story? Now, for the rest of the story, we can go through and now see more of what... I'm just glad the story doesn't end there in this hopelessness. But let's look at the other side of this. I want you to focus on a couple of the word but in a couple of these verses. In verse 4, "But because of his great love for us..." And then in verse 13, "but now." So those are two things I want you to focus in on. This idea of but, this is a transition from this idea of hopelessness to hope. But now, or but because of his great love for us. So it's his great love. He's rich in mercy. He has made us alive. Now, isn't that speak of hope in our lives? And then in verse 13, "but now we have been drawn near. We were far away, but we have now been drawn near to God through the blood of Christ." And for me, that just speaks to my heart of the hope that we have in Christ. I'd like to continue the story at the refugee camp as well and kind of contrast. As we drove in, you saw the pictures of us driving into the camp, and we pulled up to a tin building. At the time, I didn't know what it was. I later found out that's their church. In fact, they have churches in the refugee camp. And we pulled up to this church here, and we were greeted. I don't think the sound will work, but you'll just have to imagine these ladies dancing joyfully and just singing and la 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 la, you know, just wailing away. And they were excited. And I'm trying to, the contrast between driving in through this hopeless place and then seeing these women that were just full of joy. These are women, about 20 women from Burundi. Burundi is a country nearby, but this is Kenya. This is not their home. This is a refugee camp that for me feels hopeless, but for them, they've come from much worse into this place. And they were there just shouting and dancing, and they were showing great joy and hope that they had. We then went into this building. Now, keep in mind, this is March. This is in Kenya. And it was about 39 degrees, and we were in this tin building. There's 200 children there. There was over 100 adults. It was hot, and I'm not built for the heat. I think I drank about 3 liters of water because we spent 3 hours listening to children that were engaged with this congregation here. And we were able to just see boundless hope and joy. And these kids then for these 3 hours, just spent time reciting scripture, talking about Jesus, giving us details, you know, how many books are in the Bible, how many chapters are in the Bible, what's the middle chapter, or how many verses in the Bible, what's the middle verse in the Bible, I don't remember all that. They did. They'd memorized all of those things. And it was just really cool, this contrast between, again, the hopelessness and then this ultimate pure joy and hope that these people found there in the camp. But where did this hope come from? Well, it came from God, of course, but it also came from an organization called TWR Kenya. It's a partner organization, a sister organization of TWR Canada, and this is the organization that cares for Kenya. And TWR Kenya has set up several radio FM stations around Kenya, and they're broadcasting the hope of Christ into this area. But they've set up this transmitter site about 5 or 10 kilometers outside of the camp in the Kakuma refugee camp. And they're broadcasting into the camp from this location. And I had the opportunity to go to this transmitter site. They bring the children in from the camp. They will to the studio where they will broadcast to the children. The kids will then be able to take phone calls from their friends that are in the camp. And believe it or not, there's a lot of cell phones even in a camp of this nature. But these kids are able to call in. They can then, the children will again recite scripture and do various things over the airs to encourage their friends. And so again, being able to see this contrast was for me just a really, really great joy to have this visual experience of being in a hopeless situation and then being drawn to and being able to see this hope of Christ that he has given us. So friends, what are you hoping for? In what are you placing your hope? I hope that you can, with me, recognize that we need to place our hope in the person of Christ, in the provisions of Christ, those things that he has given us, and in the power of Christ. The power of Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. John Wesley White said it well this way, "The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope." Again, Transworld Radio Canada seeks to partner with you, the church, the body of Christ, and we seek to do that. We seek to share his message around the world. We speak in over 300 heart languages. We have content available in over 300 heart languages. We like that term heart language because it's that language that you grew up with, that first language that you knew that speaks to your heart, that language that you may dream in, that you may best understand, and it grabs your heart and your attention. So we seek to get content in those languages that are meaningful to people. And in virtually every country around the world, actually, through the use of radio, but also through the use of things like our smartphones. We have apps on our smartphones that allow us to connect, to stream content directly into people's phones, so they don't have to wait for a time or a day, but they can listen at any time that they wish. So anyway, again, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come in and take this time with you folks, and I appreciate your partnership with us for the gospel. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, Dan, Melody up here. And we'd like to invite Melody and Lindsay to come up here. And if I could have Corny and Nat and Frank come up here as well. And we're just going to pray with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. This past weekend, just talking about, you know, hope and... careful. No nose dives up here. This past weekend, there was supposed to be a wedding that takes that was to take place in Haiti. And because of the conditions that are taking place in Haiti, where there's a lot of chaos and a lot of fear being promoted, this couple weren't able to be married. They had to defer to another day, and they don't even know when that might be. So Grace Mission was asking us on their Facebook page to just remember them. They had about 10 gallons of fuel left, I believe, and they're, I think they're out now, probably by now, but I'm not sure. Have you got an update? Okay.
Mm, wow.
And so when we're thinking of Kakuma, we're thinking of Haiti, we're thinking of different people, different places. And God is using Transworld Radio to be an ambassador, and Dan and Melody and Lindsay specifically on this tour, to just remind people that only the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus, can bring hope to people, even in those very despairing times. And so this young man and his bride love the Lord, and they have not lost hope, and they are resting in the Lord. And so in Kakuma, where TWR has gone in and brought the message, young people are now hearing a message that they never heard before and are excited about it. And so we're part of that, and we want to stand with Dan and Melody and Lindsay as they travel, and that God would prosper their way. Let's pray for them. Gracious God, we thank you for the day. Thank you for an opportunity to hear what you're doing. Lord, we thank you that you've brought Dan and Melody into this work, very precious work that you've been using for many years. It's hard for us to understand or comprehend the vastness and the power of your message and how it can be communicated and how that you allow us to partner with you in that. Thank you for each one here who just prayerfully considers the work of TWR, Lord, and also as we hear now just what you're doing in Kakuma, we're just so grateful. Thank you for those believers who are seeking to enrich the quality of life of orphans and the dysfunction of society there. Refugees who have had to run for their lives. Father, we pray for matters there in Haiti today, and just pray that you would have your hand of mercy upon them. Thank you for the work that TWR does there as well, and just being able to broadcast the message in French so that the folks there can understand. Again, grant Dan and Melody and Lindsay the travel mercies, and then give them clarity of thought. And as they meet men and women, boys and girls, young people, Lord, who want a partner, and some may even, in fact, get involved, you touch their hearts and bring them to that place where they can serve you. Thank you for the part that we've had to just hear and to walk with Dan and Melody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. Greet each other with a holy handshake. And there's a display table at the back. Avail yourselves to just chat with Dan and Melody and Lindsay, and they'll give you some materials to take home with you.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah.